Ladies and gentlemen, thank you for standing by. I am Gail, your Chorus Call operator. Welcome, and thank you for joining the Türk Telekom conference call for the fourth quarter 2019 financial and operational results. At this time, I would like to turn the conference over to Ms. Gözde Kulaf, Head of Investor Relations, Mr. Ömit Önal, CEO, and Mr. Kaan Aktan, CFO of Türk Telekom. Madam and gentlemen, you may now proceed.
Hello, welcome to Türk Telekom 2019 fourth quarter results conference. We are here with the management team, and today's speakers are our CEO, Ömit Önal, and our CFO, Kaan Aktan. Before we start, I kindly remind you to review the notice on our earnings presentation. Ömit Bey, please.
Hello, everyone, and I hope all is well. First of all, we would like to thank you for joining our teleconference. 2019 has been a prime year when we delivered the highest growth in EBITDA and revenue since IPO. We will share the details of our results with you. But before that, let me talk you through our core strategies. Our strategic focuses are increasing internet penetration, better customer experience, accelerating the digital journey, and sustainable subscriber and ARPU growth. In 2020, in both fixed broadband and mobile, we will increase capacity and improve customer experience while focusing on investments with short return periods. Moreover, we are starting to position our CapEx on the way to 5G accordingly. In this framework, we are getting our core network ready for 5G. We have recently adopted a more agile top management structure, which will boost our synergy. We have consolidated the digital and strategy departments. With this structure, we have made our digital strategy more feasible to implement. Moreover, we have also restructured our sales department as corporate sales and consumer sales in order to increase the value we offer for our customers. This way, we increased our focus on the corporate segment. With our service approach of not only for some, but to everyone, we have provided fiber internet to all towns of our 81 cities. Through the support of our Internet Bizden campaign, we have increased the household broadband penetration in Turkey from 48% to 58% in 2 years. Our efforts will continue to increase internet penetration in Turkey to 70% levels. In 2020, we will make each of our customers feel more valuable. We will strengthen the customer experience through digital transformation and more effective use of our self-service application online işlemler. In order to provide the best experience on holistic channels to our customers, we will integrate our physical and online channels. Offering the next generation technologies in the best way is one of the most important focus points of Türk Telekom. Within the scope of fiber net access network virtualization project, Argele continues its developments on SEBA architecture. We have completed the live site installations of SEBA on Türk Telekom network and started to provide service to live subscribers. Moreover, we continue our endeavors with all next generation technologies on our 5G live test network. With the speed tests we made on our network, we broke a world record on speed. Moreover, recently we enabled the experience of Turkey's first 5G live match via VR technology. Especially with the contributions of Argelas subsidiary in US, Netsia, which owns 31 patents on 5G, we aim to contribute more on 5G area. Considering the necessity to cover the 5G sites with fiber network for the best customer experience, we see ourselves as the readiest operator for 5G. With the solutions in digital and ICT area, we are working to add value to our customers. We have taken a new step forward in digital payments area and we received electronic money license. With this license, we will offer safe, easy, and innovative digital payments service to millions of people in Turkey. With our applications, we aim to make our retail subscribers payment system users as well. Meanwhile, in order to provide faster connection to digital platforms and to minimize the latency, we are concentrated on bringing data traffic going abroad to Turkey. For that, we work with global OTTs and we signed contracts to host their cache servers in Türk Telekom switches. Apart from all these, we are also working to expand the use of next generation technologies in energy, agriculture, industry, transportation, healthcare, and urban areas. By doing so, we aim to serve to a sustainable society. Our initiatives on Smart City, which started in 2015, has given the most mature example in Antalya province. Within the scope of our efforts with Ministry of Environment and Urbanization and Municipalities, we are leading the largest Smart City projects of Turkey. In order to show our determination on sustainable development, we have committed to support 10 fundamental principles of UN Global Compact. On evaluation of CDP, we achieved level B score, which is the highest level among the telecom operators in Turkey. We aim higher levels in this field. On this wise, I would like to thank all our employees who work for this company. Following this introduction, I am proceeding with the presentation without taking your time more. Slide number 3, operational performance and subscriber acquisition. We raised the number of our subscribers to 47.8 million with 1.8 million year-on-year growth. Excluding the impact of canceling 600,000 subscribers for one of reasons, annual subscriber net additions was 2.4 million. Our initiatives to increase fixed broadband penetration and our mobile market share and our cross-sell strategy contributed to this growth. The ratio of our customers providing consent to share their information across Türk Telekom increased to 79%. Moreover, our multi-product ownership reached 63%. In the last quarter of the year, our net subscriber addition is around 160,000 level. As you may remember, ICTA issued a regulation for the cancellation of the subscribers without ID numbers. In order to comply with this regulation, we canceled 169,000 mobile customers, 21,000 fixed broadband customers, and 29,000 fixed voice customers in the last quarter. In addition to that, we deleted inactive 80,000 Hazırnet and Günlük Net Tarif portfolio subscribers from our fixed broadband customer base. Excluding these effects, our net subscriber addition in Q4 was 460,000. I will discuss the details of our subscriber metrics in the coming slide. Slide number 4. On this slide, I will briefly talk through our financials, then Kaan will share the details in the coming slides. In 2019, our consolidated sales revenues reached 23.7 billion lira with 16% year-on-year increase. And this is the highest annual growth since the IPO. We upgraded our EBITDA guidance 2 times within the year. Our 11.2 billion lira EBITDA exceeded 11 billion lira guidance we provided in October. EBITDA grew 32% year on year with a 47% EBITDA margin. Excluding the impact of IFRS 16, 44% EBITDA margin implies 2.7% year-on-year increase on a comparable base. Strong revenue growth and efficiencies on OPEX management contributed to that performance. With that, our net profit in 2019 reached the highest level of the last 7 years to 2.4 billion lira. In Q4, our sales revenues increased 16% year-on-year. While our consolidated EBITDA increased 27%, our EBITDA margin was 45%. We reported 545 million lira net profit in the last quarter of the year. As of the end of the year, our short FX position came down further, and this helped reducing the sensitivity of income to FX. Slide number 5, fixed broadband performance. With the 39,000 net subscriber additions in the last quarter, we added 460,000 net subscribers in 2019. We increased our subscribers to 11.4 million. Our penetration-focused offers, our partnerships with electricity companies, and our offer addressing different speed needs supported this growth. With the penetration focus, the number of our internet business subscribers exceeded 1.1 million. We increased our broadband output 13% annually, which is the highest growth since 2011. In 2019, we lifted fair usage quota unlimited tariffs. By benefiting from our power to offer high capacity, we provide a wide range of offers to our customers. Excluding internet bizden, around 90% of our new subscribers preferred unlimited packages. And more than 60% of our current customers preferred unlimited packages on recontracting. On internet bizden side, around 50% of internet bizden subscribers have upgraded their packages since the start of the campaign. In order to address the increased data needs of customers, we started to sell 4x60 gigabyte package on top of 4x40 gigabyte package. The ARPA performance of internet bizden shows that our strategy is on the right track. We also focused on synergy offers. We expect our recent cross-sale campaign of fixed broadband and TV products to contribute to both our subscriber and ARPU growth. 2019 has been an important year in terms of our investments as well. We delivered a record number of fiber home passes with an increase of 3.2 million, the highest annual growth ever. We raised our fiber home passes to 21.9 million. In 2020, with our penetration-oriented approach, we aim to ensure higher broadband subscriber increase than in 2019. Through speed upsells and with more effective use of our fiber network commercially, we target double-digit ARPU increase. Slide number 6, mobile performance. As Türk Telekom, we preserved our balanced approach between subscriber and ARPU growth. Blended ARPU increased 8% year-on-year, despite a more competitive quarter. We increased our mobile customer base by 186,000 in the last quarter. Excluding the impact of the new ICTA regulation, the net adds was strong with 356,000 and the whole year number was 1.9 million. Our mobile subscriber market share has reached 28% with 5% increase in the last 5 years. As such, we have come closer to our target of reaching above 30% market share in a profitable way. We have successful partnerships in mobile segments such as Bimsel, PTTcell, and Tecnocell. By expanding these, we launched Vestelcel in December. Vestel customers will be able to access Vestelcel tariffs from more than 1,000 Vestel dealers. We aim this type of partnerships to strengthen our subscriber acquisition. With our mobile investments and the advantage of our new frequencies, we increase our 3G indoor coverage by over 30% in 4 years. We also increased our LTE coverage to 92% level. Meanwhile, we have taken up a good acceleration in mobile EBITDA margin. We will increase our service quality with a focused CAPEX plan. As such, we will obtain a better value and ARPU from our customers. At the same time, we will continue our momentum in customer acquisition. All in all, we aim to preserve our high subscriber and market share increase in mobile segment. We also aim strong ARPU growth through customer value management and plans to increase data usage faster. We want to keep the revenue increase above inflation. Slide number 7, mobile data. The data revenues grew 24% versus last year, increasing its share in service revenues to 61% in Q4. The penetration of LTE-compatible devices increased to 82%. The share of LTE subscribers increased from 46% to 55% in the last year. Transition to LTE and our data-oriented loyalty campaigns supported the increase in consumption habits. Data consumption of our LTE users increased to 8.6 GB from 6.1 GB in last year. Slide number 8, fixed voice. The number of our fixed voice subscribers increased by 24,000 in the last quarter. We had the effect of the ICTA regulation on fixed voice site as well, and we canceled 29,000 subscribers. Excluding that, we added 125,000 subscribers for the full year. Our entry package in internet business, our brand partnerships, and our synergy offers contributed to that performance. Fixed voice revenues supported the consolidated revenue growth with 3% year-on-year increase. Now, I would like to give the word to Kaan to talk to through the details of our financial performance. Thank you.
Well, thank you very much. Ladies and gentlemen, good afternoon from Istanbul. We are on slide 10 now with financial performance. In the fourth quarter, consolidated revenues recorded 16.4 year-on-year growth to 6.3 billion lira. When we exclude IFRIC 12, top line growth was close to 15%. Mobile and fixed broadband segments were the main contributors, which gave 19 and 20% growth. We continued our focus on balanced subscriber and ARPU growth in the fourth quarter. On the other hand, we had some one-off impacts in subscriber numbers, which we already discussed. For the full year, we recorded 16% annual revenue growth, which is the highest growth since IPO. Excluding IFRIC 12, the growth rate was 15, which is in line with our guidance. Annual growth in mobile and fixed broadband segments were 18 and 20% respectively. Additionally, fixed voice segment continued to support consolidated revenue increase with 3% annual growth. Fourth quarter EBITDA increased by 27 year-on-year to 2.8 billion lira. That comes with a margin of 55%. Excluding IFRS 16 impact, underlying EBITDA margin was 42%. Excluding both IFRS 16 and IFRIC 12 impact, margin was 53%, as IFRIC 12 has dilutive impact on margin. For the full year, we increased our EBITDA by 32% year-on-year to 11.2 billion. This is the highest annual growth since IPO and at the same time exceeded our guidance of 11 billion. This is supported by economies of scale with growing customer base, efficiency measures undertaking in OPEX management, including organizational streamlining, integration synergy, digitalization, and prudent receivable management. EBITDA margin was realized at 47%, up by 6 percentage points. Adjusted for IFRS 16, margin in this year was at 44, which is 3 percentage points higher than last year. In 2019, mobile EBITDA margin continued to improve and is realized as 32%, up from 22% of last year. Additionally, we have been delivering positive net income in mobile business for many consecutive quarters now. In the last quarter, operating expenses increased by 9% year-on-year. Excluding IFRS 16 and IFRIC 12, the annual growth in operating expenses was 13%. Key highlights here are, well, first of all, cost of equipment sales increased in line with the increase in equipment sales. We especially had a low, very low base in mobile device same quarter last year, and recovery from that level was the main reason for higher doubtful receivable provision. As we flagged in the third quarter call, we have increased our spending in marketing and advertising. Total commercial expenses increased by 9% year-on-year compared to a 21% decline in the first 9 months. Personal expense was the main driver of the increase in OPEX with an annual growth of 20%. This was 8% in the third quarter. In the fourth quarter, we had provisions for vacations compared to third quarter in line with the seasonality. We also had some reversal in provisions regarding our unionized personnel in the third quarter. The increase was also partly due to compensation linked to higher performance. One last addition, we also launched early retirement incentive program. When we exclude these one-off impacts, the increase in personnel expense for the quarter is calculated as 13%. Network and technology decreased by almost 20% year-on-year. IFRS 16 has an impact in this number, and when we exclude the impact from that adjustment, year-on-year expense increase was just 5%. We see that utility cost, especially here, normalized from its peak in the last quarter of 2018. For the full year of 2019, operating expenses increased by 4%. Again, excluding IFRS and IFRIC, operating expense increase is 9%, which is below the inflation level, which is with the support of decrease in provision for doubtful receivable, decrease in commercial expenses on the back of optimized marketing spending. While network and technology expenses decreased by 11% year-on-year, again, excluding IFRS 16, the growth was around 15%. Annual increase in the personal expense was 14%. CapEx in the fourth quarter was 2.1 billion lira, which take us to 4.9 billion for the full year. Capacity improvement in mobile, fiber greenfield investments, and fiber transformation projects were main drivers. This is in line with our guidance for the full year number. We increased our fiber home pass by 3.2 million in the full year of 2019. This is the highest annual growth ever, and we will focus on commercialization of our fiber network throughout the coming periods. In the fourth quarter, net financial expense came at just above 900 million lira compared to 1.1 net financial gain in the fourth quarter of last year, which was the result of opposite trends in FX rates in 2019 and 2018. In this quarter, net income was 545 million lira compared to 2.2 billion of the same quarter of last year. We recorded 3.7 billion lira net financial expense in the year compared to 6.7 billion expense in 2018. This came with a more favorable FX environment. IFRS 16 implementation had 200 million lira impact on financial expenses in 2019. We reported 2.4 billion net income in the full year of 2019 compared to 1.4 billion lira loss in 2018 thanks to strong underlying operating performance and lower financial expenses. We are now on slide 11. At the end of fourth quarter, our net debt decreased to 15.9 billion lira from 16.5 of the third quarter number, and we have 1.41 times net debt to EBITDA, which is also down from 1.55 of the prior quarter. This is the lowest level since 2015. In dollar term, our net financial debt decreased by $500 million when we exclude the additional debt of around $200 million after capitalization of operational leases under IFRS 16. The decrease is due to deleveraging with strong cash flow and strong EBITDA growth. We expect to see further decline in leverage ratio by getting, if not hitting, closer to 1x, as we foresee similarly strong unlevered free cash flow in 2020. We have a strong liquidity of $4.9 billion as cash at the end of the quarter, and 91% of our cash is FX-based. We also have a committed facility of around 100 million euros. We are well diversified in terms of funding sources. As we announced, we are planning to issue Turkish lira denominated debt instrument in the domestic market. It might be a single or multiple tranches, different maturities, up to maximum 5 years, and the total size might be up to 1 billion lira. Depending on the market conditions, we are planning to complete the issuance of first tranche in the near term. The issuance of a TL-based loan will further enhance this diversification and support our program for managing foreign exchange risk. In the meantime, we already started accumulating local currency financial debt, which was 6% of our total debt at the reporting date. We prefer short-term lira loans because of favorable cost and supply. We have around $2 billion equivalent of participating cross-currency swap position, and FX-based cash is at $750 million. We are now on slide 12. At the end of the quarter, the net FX exposure decreased to $370 million, which was $1.2 billion in the last quarter of 2018. With the reduction in short FX position, the sensitivity of P&L to FX movements continued to decrease, with 10% depreciation of lira having around 450 million lira impact on P&L, assuming all else stays constant. Same sensitivity implied more than 1.3 billion lira loss on December 2018. Looking at our cash flow generation, our unlevered free cash flow in the full year of 2019 was 6.4 billion lira, which compares to 3.5 of last year, thanks to robust EBITDA performance and improvement in net working capital. Excluding IFRS 16 impact, unlevered cash flow was again extremely strong at 5.6 billion lira. We are now on slide 13 with our 2020 guidance. We are expecting consolidated revenue growth, excluding IFRIC 12, to be at 14% year-on-year, EBITDA to be at 12.4 billion level, and CAPEX will be at 5.8 billion lira. As we always do, we start the year with an initial guidance and analyze the trends in different business segments and in the OPEX during the year, and revise our guidance whenever it's necessary. Our guidance implies the revenue growth to stay above expected inflation. In broadband, we will continue to have positive impact of the price increases we carried in 2019 with the contract renewals. We will also focus on commercialization of our fiber network and speed upsells. In mobile, we target to keep our mobile subscriber growth trend and continue to increase subscriber market share. Additionally, with the customer value management, we plan to increase data usage and implement price adjustments, potentially leading to a strong ARPU growth in mobile business for the year. In the OPEX front, we will continue our focus on optimization. While carrying out structural measures which will enable cost savings, we want to increase the capacity and service quality in the field operations. We are focusing to increase employee efficiency, and with this aim, we already launched early retirement programs similar to prior years. This year, commercial spending might accelerate as we are planning to be more active in terms of marketing and to further build on corporate image. On the other hand, we plan to use our online sales channels, including our online customer care platform, more effectively. Overall, our guidance implies EBITDA margins to stay very close to 2019 level. On the CAPEX front, with our 5.8 billion guidance, we are expecting CAPEX to increase by 17%, slightly above our revenue growth guidance. In 2020, we will focus on the investments which will increase our service quality, improve customer experience as well as increase capacity both in fixed broadband and mobile segments. These investments will enable higher ARPU and subscriber growth and will come with healthy returns. Moreover, in some regions, we are modernizing our mobile access network with next-generation equipment. This will not only increase service quality and capacity, but will also lead to savings in maintenance and energy expenses. Such modernization effort, which also includes mobile core network investment, will also enable us to build a 5G-ready network and reduce future investment for a potential 5G rollout. In 2020, we expect to see accelerated conversion of EBITDA to net income. Our guidance of close to mid-teen revenue growth and the fact that the leveraging will continue potentially in an environment of decreasing interest rates would all lead to interest expense to sale ratio to decline. Accordingly, around 4 to 5 percentage point improvement in net income margin seems to be achievable if we assume the continuation of a healthy and predictable macro environment. Finally, we expect unlevered free cash flow to remain so strong and support deleveraging. Thank you for listening, and I will now hand over the call to Gözde for the Q&A session.
Before that, I would like to inform you that we will have translation during the Q&A session. Thank you.
The first question comes from the line of David GP with JP Morgan. Please go ahead.
Hi, good afternoon and congratulations on the results. Two questions from my side. Firstly, on guidance, following on from the upgrades in 2019 and then beat of 2019 guidance, how would you frame your 2020 guidance? Would you frame it as realistic or conservative, or potentially as, you know, as a stretch? That'd be question one. Question two relates to the introductory remarks around Netzia and the 31 5G patents pending. Can you provide some high-level, sort of a high-level overview of what those patents relate to? Do they relate to improved use cases for 5G, or is it more around efficient deployment of 5G services? Thank you.
Well, this is Khan. In terms of the guidance, obviously, this time of the year, we see it as a realistic guidance, but we are commonly known as more conservative, especially when it comes to providing beginning of the year guidance numbers. But all in all, still stick to the same set of numbers until we feel that we may need a revision in the guidance going forward. For the second part of the question.
Okay. Hello, this is Yusuf, the CTO. With the Argela of the U.S. subsidiaries, the Netzia, we have working with two domains, actually. One of the is the fixed domain is the SEBA projects, which is actually related with the 5G backhaul projects, actually. The second one, VRAN, especially the slicing properties of the to prepare the 5G time. We are working very closely, actually, with the Netzia and the Argela. Almost in SEBA side, we have already user-friendly about 50 users. Now is working on it. And of course, we have still time for the, we need to still time for the slicing project, actually.
Okay, thank you.
The next question comes from the line of Kiv Ivan with Extelus Capital. Please go ahead.
Yes, hi. Two questions, three, one small one. So the first one on the cost inflation, just to go back to the guidance. So your guidance implies 17% cost inflation ahead of the 14% revenue growth that you expect. So why would you think it would be 3 percentage point higher with inflation in Turkey actually moderating quite a bit? That's the first question. The second question on the fixed network concession, any news on that, any discussions with the government, and maybe any, like anything on the timeline when we'll hear on the fixed network concession extension? And lastly, when to expect the dividend announcement from 2019 earnings, please? Thank you.
Well, thank you for the question. For the first part, well, when you look at the different components in our OPEC space, so especially I think we are very clear that there will be an increase of in real term above inflation in terms of commercial spending in order to support revenue growth. And there is also a part in our OPEC space which is directly driven by the increase in the revenue, which is the direct cost part. So close to mid-teen revenue growth is also triggering a similar increase in that part. Another important cost item is the headcount related cost. And although we see that maybe it's a single digit inflation for the full year of 2020, the salary adjustments is mainly driven by the past inflation, which is double digit number for 2019. And when we combine all together, we saw it as an OPEX increase, which is higher than the revenue.
İkinci soruya ben yanıt vermek istiyorum. İmtiyazlar Türkiye'deki telekom sektörünün bir gerçeği.
I would like to answer your second question. Concessions are the facts of the telecom sector in Turkey.
Sabit imtiyaz aslında Türkiye'deki mobil sektöründeki lisanslardan koşullar açısından farklı değil.
The fixed concession is not different from what is called licensing in the Turkish mobile sector in terms of its conditions.
Nitekim 2G lisansının süresi Turkcell ve Vodafone için 2023'te, bizim için ise, Türk Telekom için ise 2G lisansı 2026'da doluyor olacak.
2G licensing will expire in 2023 for Turkcell and Vodafone and in 2026 for us.
3G ve 4G lisanslarının yetkilendirmeleri ise bütün oyuncular için biz dahil 2029'da sona erecek.
And 3G and 4G licenses and authorizations will expire in 2029 for all players.
Atıyorum, yani ya da örneğin lisanslar hiç yetkilendirilmezlerse tekrardan sabitte olduğu gibi tüm operatörler altyapıyı regülatöre teslim etmek durumunda.
Let's say if the licenses and authorizations are not renewed upon the expiry, all operators are required to return infrastructure to the regulator as in fixed.
Diğer taraftan örneğin 2023'te diğer operatörler için çok kritik olan 900 MHz'lik 2G lisansının kullanım hakkı dolacak.
Moreover, 900 MHz 2G license, which is highly critical for the other operators, will also expire in 2023.
Biz bu konuyu kamunun görüşü için ve münazarası için proaktif olarak açmış bulunuyoruz.
We open this subject to public debate proactively.
Çünkü yenilenmelerin mobili de içeren sektör çapında bir yaklaşımla ele alınması gerektiğini düşünüyoruz ve bu tartışmaların bugünden başlaması bizim sabit imtiyazımız için de bir izlek olacağını düşünüyoruz.
The renewals should be addressed via a sector-wide approach including mobile and we believe these discussions are critical for the visibility of the fixed side.
Toparlayacak olursam bugünden imtiyazlarla ilgili olarak henüz bir şey konuşabilmek için erken ama Turkcell ve Vodafone'un mobil lisanslarının konuşulmaya başladığı bir noktada önümüzü biraz daha biz de görebileceğiz. Senaryoların çeşitlenebileceğini buradan öngörüyoruz.
All in all, it is still too early from today to see what will happen with the concession, but we know that with Turkcell and Vodafone, the issue of their mobile licenses will start to be discussed, which will give us some hints.
Çünkü dediğim gibi, bunun sabitteki imtiyazlarla mobildeki lisans meselelerini farklı platformlarda tartışılması gereken konular olarak görmüyoruz.
Because, as I said, fixed concession and mobile licenses for us are not subjects to be discussed in different platforms.
Temettü ile ilgili sorunuza yanıt verecek olursam.
For your question related to dividends.
Tabii bildiğiniz gibi temettüler yönetim kurulu üyeleri tarafından öneriliyor ve bu konudaki nihai karar genel kurulda hissedarlarca veriliyor.
As you know, the dividend payout ratio is proposed by board of directors and the ultimate decision for dividend distribution is undertaken by shareholders at the general assembly.
Şirket ana sözleşmemizde belirlenmiş olan temettü politikamızda şimdilik bir değişiklik yok. Yani dağıtılabilir karı dağıtılması yönünde oran bağımsız politikada bir değişiklik yok.
Regardless of the distributable amount, there is no change in our dividend policy which is written in Article 10 of the association so far.
Bizler şirket yönetimi perspektifinden tüm paydaşlarımız için değeri arttırmak amacıyla büyüme ve operasyonel verimliliğe aynı zamanda güçlü nakit akışına odaklanıyoruz.
From the management perspective, we are focusing on growth, operational efficiency and strong cash flow to increase the value for all stakeholders.
Bu bağlamda şirket yönetimi olarak 2020 yılında temettü dağıtmaya başlayacak durumda olacağımıza inanıyoruz. Şu an temettü dağıtımı yapabilecek pozisyonda güçlü finansallara sahip olduğumuzu inanıyoruz. Ama tabii bu konudaki nihai kararı hissedarlarımız genel kurulda veriyor olacak.
In this context, as the management of the company, we believe we are in a position to start paying out dividends in 2020. However, the ultimate decision will be taken by the shareholders.
Teşekkür ederim.
Thank you.
Okay, thank you.
The next question comes from the line of Ahmet Rishad with Golden Tree Asset Management. Please go ahead.
Hi there, and congratulations again on another great set of results. Just following up on that question regarding the dividend. So you're saying that the payout ratio is going to be proposed by the board of directors and the decision taken at the shareholder general meeting. Has that payout ratio already been proposed? And when is that general meeting taking place for the decision? That's the first question, and then the second is just in terms of CapEx. If you could just, I know you talked about service quality improvements and capacity increases, but if you could just help us understand where that increment is going, or a little more detail around that from the 5 to the billion to 5.8, that would be helpful.
Let me start with the first question on dividend. As Ümit Bey mentioned, I mean, there will be a proposal from the board to the General Assembly. That proposal is not made yet. We should expect to have the General Assembly sometime in the second quarter. Obviously, the decision or proposal from the board should go out towards end of the first quarter or early second quarter. When we have the final decision or the proposal, of course, we will disclose the information. In terms of the CAPEX, well, it's very important for us to see a strong return when we make a decision on a CAPEX investment. And last year, a year before, and also for regarding the trends of 2020, we feel very comfortable that investing a bit more money to the network, both in mobile and fixed, will give us that return in a short period of time. The obvious reasons are: first, we can grow the market for fixed broadband, and we can grab market share in mobile, and all those investments enable us to extract better value from what we do currently, either a bit more subscriber gain or maybe ARPU increase as a result of better quality and better customer service in the network. So that the incremental part will mostly go to the mobile and fixed networks. Some will be spent on mobile core, to improve the capacity, increase the capacity and modernization, and the remaining part will be for access networks in both domains.
Thank you.
The next question comes from the line of Capacheco Andre with UBS. Please go ahead.
Hi. Thank you, and then congratulations on another great year. First sort of question or slash comment that I have is on your growth strategy for 2020, if you could elaborate on it. On the sources of growth in that guidance that you provide. Because if I look at 2019, for example, in the fixed broadband, it seemed like you're starting to monetize the increased base again. So now I'm surprised that you're saying that your goal is actually to accelerate net additions in fixed broadband going into 2020. Also in mobile, you've achieved pretty significant market share gains. However, at the same time, your ARPU discount to Turkcell is probably the highest ever. You also are investing a lot in networks, which indicates that you're focused on service quality and thus ARPU growth. So if you could just speak to us a bit about the balance between convergence of pricing and penetration growth, et cetera.
Şimdi 2020 yılı için önceliklerimizi bir kez daha tekrar etmek istiyorum. Başlarken konunun derinliklerine inme yolculuğunda. Bir kere internet penetrasyonunu arttırmak, en üst düzeyde müşteri deneyimini hedeflemek ve Türk Telekom'un imajını daha da güçlendirmek ve dijitalleşmenin tüm fırsatlarını kullanarak dijitalleşme yolculuğuna hız vermek, sürdürülebilir bir abone kazanımının yanında sağlıklı bir ARPU artışı olarak sıralayabiliriz.
First of all, let me reiterate our priorities for 2020. Our priorities for 2020 are increasing internet penetration, aiming for best-in-class customer experience, further, accelerating the digitalization journey by using all opportunities caused by digitalization and the healthy ARPU increase, along with sustainable subscriber additions.
Tabii hem müşteriden daha fazla para kazanmak hem de müşteri deneyimini iyileştirmek için pazarlama alanında müşteri analitiğini daha fazla ön plana çıkan ve daha üst seviyeye çıkaran bir yol sergileyeceğimizi söyleyebiliriz.
We are going to adopt a new strategy by using customer analytics more in marketing, in which we will have a higher level of customer experience and also a return from customers.
Sizin de bahsettiğiniz gibi Türkiye'de faaliyet gösteren operatörlerden biri taahhütlü müşterilere zam yaparak fiyatını biraz arttırdı geçtiğimiz aylarda. Bize göre mevzuat açısından ciddi bir soru işareti barındırıyordu ve bu fiyatlama aksiyonları nedeniyle atlarının desteklediklerini ve abone kazanımlarını da buradan elde ettikleri gelir nedeniyle arttırdıklarını görüyoruz.
As we have mentioned, one of the operators increased their prices for the contracted customers during the contract term. This pricing action, which we considered in compliance according to our interpretation of the regulation, supported their ARPU.
Mobil pazardaki rasyonalizasyonu bozacağını düşündüğümüz ve sektörü de olumsuz etkileyeceğini düşündüğümüz bu uygulamaların sonuçlarını belki de ilgili operatörün sonuçlarına baktığımızda görüyoruz. Bu arada yine mobil segmentte MVNO işine iyice ağırlık veriyoruz. Bimsel, Teknosasel gibi başarılı işbirliklerimiz var. Bu işbirliklerini daha da genişletiyoruz. Ayrıca önemli bir perakende oyuncusu Vestel'le, Vestel bayilerinde bine aşkın Vestel bayisinde Vestel'sinin yayılımını da aynı zamanda sağlayarak büyümemize yeni kaldıraçlar sağlıyoruz.
We also attach importance to our MNO partnership. We have successful partnership on mobile segments, you know, such as Vimsel and Teknosasel. And now we are working with a very important retailer, and we aim to offer Vestelcel via more than 1,000 Vestel dealers.
Thank you. one question that I have on the CapEx, the second question that I have on CapEx, is it rational to expect that given you're today at 90% fiber home pass in Turkey, that you've upgraded the mobile network for indoor coverage quite significantly, et cetera, is 2020 going to be the sort of peak of CapEx intensity before we go into 5G? Thank you.
So we plan the CapEx for 2020 to effectively improve the network, but always our main condition or main priority is to get a decent return for all the incremental investments that we make. So we will closely follow the market conditions and the growth in the market and further year CapEx levels will be defined with the level of return that we foresee from those investments. But I would agree, it looks like it will be a high number if you compare to the years to come.
But so, for example, on the fixed broadband, you know, you're saying yourselves that you have relatively low penetration relative to the network capabilities. So on the fixed side, at least, can you confirm that 2020 is going to be the sort of last big year of fiber CapEx for some time to come?
Yeah, you're right. I mean, there will be a very healthy, you know, penetration of our fiber connectivity when we complete the year with the plan for investment. And after that, there should be a selective transformation project or some, greenfield investment. And we have been coming from a very, healthily growing, construction sector, and there were new homes coming into the market and expecting a connectivity. It slowed down in the last 2 years now, and we've been effectively connecting the accumulated, number of homes in the last few years. And going forward, if you don't see any such trends, strong trends in terms of new homes coming into the market after the construction process, we shouldn't have a similar high-level CapEx requirement.
All right. Thank you very much.
The next question comes from the line of Viktoria Slava with Goldman Sachs. Please go ahead.
Yes, thanks for the call. What would be your outlook on the free cash flow for 2020? Do you envisage a further material increase compared to 2019 levels? Or in other words, apart from EBITDA and the CapEx outlook, any other factors that can materially affect free cash flow generation this year? Thank you.
Well, if you look at the composition of the unlevered free cash flow, obviously EBITDA and CapEx are the two big impact factors. The other items on the tax payments and working capital, I can tell you that I wouldn't expect a major change in terms of absolute numbers compared to 2019. So the net growth with the change in the CapEx and EBITDA should be defining the unlevered free cash flow performance. Having said that, it should still be a strong and healthy number, about 6 billion lira, but that's simple mathematics that I put behind that number.
Okay, thank you.
The next question is from the line of Demirtaş Kemal with Ata Invest. Please go ahead.
Thank you for the presentation and congratulations for strong operating results. My question is again related to your financial expenses. I think you mentioned at the last part of your presentation about potential, the improvement in that side and impact on your net income. Could you please repeat that potential improvement as potential improvement in the net income over net sales, in your net margin? Thank you.
Yeah, few factors that I can mention here. First, obviously the sensitivity significantly reduced. I'm referring to the sensitivity of financial expenses in case we have a change in the FX rate. So it was 1.3 billion lira at the end of 2019, whereas it's around 500 million lira at the end of 2019. So even if we assume some devaluation of the Turkish lira throughout the year, the impact should be much less significant. The other development we see in the market, the interest rates are coming down. Local currency interest rates are coming down. This is important for us because we have a large, hedging portfolio, and the overall cost of it, especially when it comes to new contracts to sign, the level of the cost is defined by the local interest rate. Another factor that we see, as I briefly mentioned during the presentation, is we can also access to local currency real borrowing, commercial loans from local banks at a very attractive rate. Currently, we are using that channel in a kind of tactical way, but we see that we can absorb some large amount of funding, but we need funding. We don't need actually the funding, but we need a local currency exposure. This is why we are using that channel. But also it gives us a lower cost of hedging when it comes to support our currency risk management strategy. And we already saw the average cost of funding, including all the hedging agreements, to come down to close to 10%. So in some quarters, at some point in the last quarter or the third quarter, we saw a number which was close to 11%. So we already started getting some benefit from that trend. And I would assume that the trend will be even stronger throughout the year. So these are the factors where that makes us more comfortable in terms of giving a lower interest charge or fund estimation for the year.
Sorry, did you mention any, improvement in the net margin? Because, my line was not very clear, at the last part of the presentation. I don't know if I, read it wrong.
Yes, that was the line for my presentation. So we should see a lower percentage to revenue in terms of total interest charge, which would also include the FX portion in it.
Thank you.
The next question is from the line of Mandatsi Etze with Unlu & Co. Please go ahead.
Hi, thank you very much for the presentation. My question is on the broadband category. Could you please elaborate some on this broadband competition environment? In the last two quarters, we have seen around 13% ARPU growth on a year-over-year basis. Is this level sustainable for the first quarter and second quarter as well? I was wondering about it. And now we are seeing the effects of the upselling performance, as you have mentioned, and more rational competition environment. Do you think that it is sustainable for the broadband category particularly? Thank you.
Tabii 2018 yılının sonunda 2019 yılında başlayacak kotasız hayat nedeniyle müşteriler 2018'in son çeyreğine yığılan şekilde sabit internetle ilgili talep artışı yapmıştı.
Because of the expected unlimited internet world at the end of 2018, the demand was pulled and accumulated at the end of the 2018. That's why there was a big demand at the end.
Hatırlayacağınız üzere 2019'un ilk iki çeyreğinde
yeni kotasız hayata adapte olma konusunda biraz kafası karışık bir müşteri profili vardı.
And in the first two quarters of 2019, there was a bit confused customer profile because they were getting adapted to the unlimited internet world.
Sonra üçüncü çeyrekten itibaren, başından itibaren müşterilerin bu yeni hayata, kullanıcıların bu yeni hayata adapte olduğunu ve taleple ilgili daha iyi bir ortamın sağlandığını gördük.
And as of the onset of third quarter, the customers get adapted to the new environment and there was a better also understanding of the customer.
2017 yılından itibaren özellikle giriş paketi diye tanımladığımız sosyal paket olarak da isimlenen 4x20 ve 4x40 paketleriyle içeriye aldığımız müşterilere dönük upsell çalışmalarımız özellikle ARPU'muzun yukarı çıkması noktasında bize büyük bir olanak sağladı.
You know, we have our social packages, entry-level packages, which we launched at 4x20 and 4x40 in 2017, has given us a big upsell opportunity in the coming years.
Bu oran 2018'de %32'ler seviyesindeyken %50 seviyesine çıktı upsell oranımız.
Our upsell ratio increased from 32% in 2018 to 50%.
Aynı şekilde tüketicilerin data ihtiyacı arttıkça daha yüksek hızlara ve daha iyi paketlere terfileri ya da upsell'leri söz konusu oldu.
Also, as the data needs of our customers increase and they also prefer higher speed, they also upsell to better packages.
Biz doğrusu pazarın hala hem Türkiye'deki internet penetrasyonunun genişlemesi noktasında gidilecek yol olmasından hem abone artışı hem de ARPU artışı yönünde bizim için sürdürülebilir fırsatlar barındırdığına inanıyoruz.
We believe the market has sustainable opportunities for both and ARPU and there is still a long way to go with internet penetration.
There has been a follow-up question on dividends. I believe that there was a problem with the line. Therefore, we will address the dividend question once again.
Okay. Tabii Türk Telekom olarak çok güçlü nakit akışı yaratıyoruz.
Türk Telekom, we generate strong cash flow.
2019 yılında 6.4 milyar Türk Lirası serbest nakit akışı yarattık.
We generated 6.4 billion lira unlevered cash flow in 2019.
Bu rakam çok değil bir yıl önce yani 2018'de 3.5 milyar liraydı.
Just one year ago in 2018 this number was 3.5 billion lira.
Bu bize bilanço yönetiminde büyük bir esneklik sağlıyor.
And this gives us the flexibility in balance sheet management.
Güçlü nakit akışının 2020'de de devam etmesini ve net borç bölü FABEP oranının daha da iyileşmesini, düşmesini bekliyoruz.
We expect the strong cash flow generation to continue in 2020 and we also expect net debt to EBITDA ratio to decline further.
Ya bu bağlamda tekrar etmeliyim ki şirket yönetimi olarak 2020 yılında temettü dağıtmaya başlayacak durumda olacağımıza inanıyoruz.
So I have to repeat in this context as the management of the company we believe we will be in a position to start paying out dividends in 2020.
Burada takdir edersiniz ki profesyonel yöneticiler olarak sadece bir oran belirtmekten uzak olmak durumundayız. Bizler profesyonel olarak yönetim perspektifinden tüm paydaşlarımız için en yüksek değeri yaratmak amacıyla büyümeye, operasyonel verimliliğe ve güçlü nakit akışına odaklanıyoruz.
You know, out of professionality, it is not right to share a ratio for us. We cannot share any ratio with you. But we are focusing on increasing our penetration and for our stakeholders, we want to provide the highest value possible and provide the strongest cash flow generation.
Kaan da bahsetti. Bizim her yıl genel kurulumuz ya ilk çeyreğin son günlerinde ya da ikinci çeyreğin ilk günlerinde toplanıyor.
As Kaan mentioned, our general assembly meeting is held either at the end of the first quarter or in the beginning of second quarter.
Yönetim kurulu üyelerimizin bu noktada genel kurula önerilerini ve genel kurulun da bu konudaki nihai kararını uzak olmayan bir zaman içerisinde hep beraber göreceğimizi düşünüyoruz oransal olarak.
I believe soon we are going to see the proposal of our board of directors in terms of the dividend payout ratio and then we are going to have our general assembly meeting soon.
Thank you.
You can take the next question if there is no follow-up.
Ms. Mandazzi, are you done with your questions?
Thank you very much.
Ladies and gentlemen, there are no further questions at this time. I will now turn the conference over to Türk Telekom Management for any closing comments. Thank you.
Thank you for attending the call and have a good afternoon.